The F and Rad Snowboard Podcast is presented by Vans. Season 6 of F and Rad is sponsored by Wired Snowboards, The Boardroom Snowboard Shop, Anon Optics, Crow's Nest Barbershops, and Tribute Board Shop in Nelson, BC. Crow's Nest has 7 barbershops between Toronto, Collingwood, Hamilton, Ottawa, Vancouver, and Hawaii. The vibe at a Crow's Nest is like what it was to go to a skate shop in the 90s. The people there just get it, and they make you feel like an appreciated customer. John Roth helps run the show, and he's the coolest, so go get a cool haircut at Crow's Nest and buy the products that keep your hair looking good. I need a haircut, and I hit John up for one for me and my son Bowen. We're both going to be going in the next week or so. Crow's Nest Barbershops, good place to get your haircut. Thanks to all the listeners over the years that left positive comments on the show. I try and read every single one of them. And I try not to dwell on the negative ones because they'll send me into a year-long obsession about making the show better for that one person. But there is a 3-star comment I fully agree with, which is simply, have more female guests. So for this season, there will be more women snowboarder voices. In keeping with the nostalgia theme of the show, I'll be getting after the Cara Beth Burnsides and, of course, trying to get Victoria Jalouse, because I know you guys would love to hear from them. But for this week's guest, I'm interviewing Maria Thompson, who recently won Women's Part of the Year last year for her part in Jess Kamira's The Uninvited. Women have been treated as second-class snowboarders by many sponsors throughout the history of snowboarding, and that's all changing slowly but surely. And Maria's a snowboarder in the truest sense of the word. She lives and breathes it. She's determined, competitive, and wildly talented, which is why many of the standout shots in Burton's One World movie are Maria's. I drove to Maria's wonderful Pemberton home last weekend and sat down in her living room. And for the second time this year, I did an interview while the snow fell softly outside.
I started snowboarding so late, and then when I jumped in and when I finally started like watching video parts or like being interested in like what was happening, I don't know so many of the people that started snowboarding. So it's really cool to learn about that. But for the longest time, I didn't know about like huge legend in snowboarding.
And, of course.
And like people would be like, do you don't know like Devin Walsh? And I was like, no, who's that? And like, I don't know if you should put that on the podcast, but like I had no idea.
No, that's amazing. That's great. Because you started snowboarding, what, like 12 years ago when you moved here? Or yeah. Like a little bit before that?
No, I started 12 years ago. And then like when I just started, I was literally just learning to like carve down a mountain. I didn't watch any video parts. Like,
of course
you was just, I wanted to like learn to slide a box and stuff like that. That was my focus. So I think that's why Jess was such a big inspiration, because like she was pretty big when I started watching, and I was like, thought she was so sick. And
oh, yeah.
Like Jess and Desiree. So like, those were the first people that I learned about. And like later on, I think like Barrett Christie, I had no idea who she was. Like,
sure.
Sorry, Barrett.
No, no.
And like, she's such a big legend. And it was just, I didn't know.
The women in snowboarding back in the day had a very social voice. It was really cool. Like but it's kind of been handed down all the way, right? Like you still got the Full Moon Girls, and you still got, especially Jess. Jess kicked the door open.
Yeah.
Jess kicked the door open like so hard. Like she wasn't doing what anyone else was doing.
No, she's awesome.
Oh, she is just the best. The fact that we see 3 seconds of the day that it took to get a trick, or the week that it took to get a trick, or the season that it took to get a trick, or the couple of seasons it took to get a trick, that we see that for 3 seconds and we hear people cheer. They might edit in the cheer at the end, your face of like relief, like, oh, finally.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge disservice. Like when you see Jess's edit and you get to see her shoveling the snow, that's the first time I saw a woman shoveling snow for a spot. It just looked like, well, it's bizarre.
What do you mean? You don't think women shovel?
I guess I didn't. Like, that's why I'm going to admit it right now. I started to really cry. Because I was like, oh my God, what have I done to my daughter?
Aww.
It's not cool, the categories we put you guys in. And the shit that we think
below the surface mm-hmm. that we just don't, we don't think about it. It's like, of course women shovel their spots.
Yeah.
There's no guys there doing it for them. It's all girls. They're having a good time doing what the guys do at the spots, taking an idea that's in your head that you think you might be able to do. And your friends are like, you definitely can do it.
Yeah.
And you're like, Jesus Christ, I don't know if I can do this. And then you get pumped up, right?
Totally. And I think that, well, Jess is a good example, and she always put in very hard work. But I think sometimes, I don't know if I just don't think about it. I mean, I don't know what men think or that they're like, think that we don't shovel our spots or anything. But
it's an insignificant thought mostly, but it means the most. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like to be 47 years old and think, oh, I just never thought about that.
Yeah.
That all those things that you guys have done took an incredible amount of effort.
Yeah.
We boil it down to the shot. You see the shot and you go, huh?
I know. There was so much work put into those shots. And I never even thought about that. That's all they see because we spend, so much time shoveling or looking for spots. Or like even when we were filming for One World, I remember me and Ethan and Alexandrews, we were out like, so we had this deal and Nils were making us food and he had a sore back. So then the three of us, me, Alex, and Ethan would go out and shovel every night to like, I don't know, sometimes 1 a.m. and then we'd come home and we'd get up at 7 the next morning and go. But like, it's hard work, but it's also a lot of fun at the same time. You're with your homies and you get to do what you want and it's something that you want to do. But there is, there's work behind it for sure.
Oh my God, of course. So do you feel like having someone like Jess as an inspiration and Desiree, you mentioned both of those girls, were you able to get good quickly because you're like, I kind of read it in an interview yesterday or something that you looked at snowboarding and you went, I think I can get there.
Totally.
Yeah.
I would look at these girls and I would see their parts and I was like, oh, I can do that. And as I think I said before, too, I had a little bit of not a cocky attitude, but I just thought I could do it. I didn't know that street snowboarding was so much work and like he didn't have these perfect run-ins and landings. And, I was like, oh, well, I can do a frontboard 270 in the park. I can do that in the streets, too, and film these things. So I think that I just wanted to do that because I wanted to prove that I can do it, too.
So you were a competitive handball player, is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
I love that it makes you cringe. I think that's insane. That's awesome.
It was definitely fun. I grew up, like my parents were both playing handball my whole life.
Were they semi-pro? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Semi-pros. My mom didn't snowboard, play handball from I was born. She blew her knee and then she kind of stopped. But my dad, he would just bring me out to like their matches. And like, he always told me that I would like undress myself and run around naked and he had to change me down. And he was like in the middle of like playing handball. But so, yeah, I grew up with that. And then it just came natural that I started playing handball. I did a bunch of sport. I played soccer and gymnastics and all this stuff. Like we were a pretty athletic family.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have a younger brother.
Yeah.
Nikolai. Yeah, he was over here for a few seasons and learned to snowboard.
Sweet.
And now he's back in Denmark.
Yeah. What does he do? Is he a...
He's a carpenter. And he has a daughter and he's chilling. I think he wants to be a physio now because he took some slam on his snowboard. Like he wanted to learn and he got a lot of injuries. So his body is hurting a little bit and he kind of want to do something else.
It's neat in Denmark. It's like socialist, right? Like, so if he wants to be a physiotherapist, he can go to school and become one.
Mm-hmm.
Like without like it costing $1 million or even any money, I think,
I
right?
think actually even because like usually you get paid while you take your education in Denmark. And in his situation, because if your body can't handle the work you're doing, they will actually pay you full salary to take a new education. You have to get approved for it, but if it's legit, then they'll pay you.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So did you get any Danish money to become a professional snowboarder?
No.
You found the one thing that because you can't be a professional snowboarder in Denmark proper, there's no mountains there.
No. There's no mountains. So no, I never got any money. I went to school. I went to business school. And I mean, I had plans to study one day and I was just going to do my traveling. But I think after I came to Whistler and started snowboarding, the dreams just fell out the window. I was like, no way.
How did you decide on Whistler?
Because I had a few friends that went to Whistler or did a season here. I guess there's a few Danes that goes over here every year. And like, I don't even think I heard about Canada. I heard about the United States. But like, they're like, we're going to this place, Whistler. And I was at business school and I kind of was like, oh, I could use a break. So I just like bought a snowboard and went over to visit them for 2 weeks.
You bought a snowboard in Denmark?
Mm-hmm.
Where the hell do you get a snowboard in Denmark?
There is these, like, I guess in skate shops, they have, like, a couple of snowboards, or, like, snowboard boots and stuff. What was it? It was a Lamar.
Oh, perfect.
Lamar snowboard, and it was on sale for, like, $100 or something.
Yeah, they were, the tail end Lamars were, like, cheap boards.
Uh-huh. I had it for years, though.
That's amazing.
It was good. But, yeah, I went over to visit them in 2006 then.
Oh, wow.
Or something around then, because I moved here. Oh, I didn't move here. I did my first season here in 2008.
Mm-hmm. And then did you move back?
Because you could only get work visas for the first little bit. So I'd get a work visa, but my first few years here, I was so hurt all the time. So I had to go back and get my mom to take care of me. Like, I blew my knee, broke my tailbone. Oh. I think the first year I blew my knee, went home, had surgery, then I came back the year after. Then I broke my tailbone and my wrist at the same time. And I remember going home again, and then I broke my elbow, like, super bad. I was a disaster. My mom was, like, not that stoked on me snowboarding the first few years.
How do you get through those injuries without just quitting? Most people quit at a major injury.
I was just so in love with snowboarding, and I just started too. So like, there was so much I wanted to learn. I think every time I got hurt, like, I was so, I mean, anyone who's been hurt know how devastating it is for, like, especially if you're like an active person and you can't even walk, like, you appreciate to walk again. But like, every time I got hurt, I think I was just like more motivated to get better or get back and get better at snowboarding. And it was like all that was on my mind. And my mom was like, can't you think about, like, life is like more than snowboarding, Maria. Like you have to think about the rest of your life too. But I was like tunnel vision. Like, I just wanted to snowboard.
This is the thing that blows my mind. Most of the people in your genre of snowboarding come from like Minnesota or like Winnipeg, you know, like somewhere where it's cold, and they sat in their backyard and they built a wicked rail, you know, like the McMorrises. Or, you know, if you start snowboarding in Whistler, how do you miss like becoming like a powder hound or like even like racing? Because it's a fast mountain. Like, you've become, you know, one of the world's best street riders, but you're from Whistler. It's so bizarre to me.
It is kind of funny, especially when I tell people, I'm like, I live in Pemberton, and they're like, oh, so you have a sled?
Yeah,
and
you have
a
sled.
Like, no, I don't. But I did a little bit of slope style in the beginning.
Cool.
But I don't know. I think before I could even like turn my board, I was already like trying to jump on boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really poorly. I was so bad. But I think like after a few years of slope style and just like learning, I just like was kind of interested in like the whole like street side of snowboarding. And it's like a different, like, if you like look at contest riders and like people that film video part, it's just like a little bit different. And I was more drawn to like the video part side of things and like going on trips. And I also realized that if you film a video part, you can put as much effort into it as you want. Like, you know, you can make it yours and you can make it as good as you want. Like, if you want, like, even if you don't have talent, you can hike for like 4 days and get the tricks.
Get one trick. Yeah. Right, right, right.
So that way it comes in handy too, that everyone doesn't see the backstory. It's like,
yeah, right.
You can look better than you are.
Sure. So I remember reading or seeing that your first trip was a trip to Montreal mm-hmm. when, by your own admission, you weren't ready to go on a trip, essentially.
I didn't. No. I didn't even have a camera. I bought a camera in Montreal.
Oh, wow.
And it was me and my partner and my friend Cynthia. And it was just the three of us. And the first day, Cynthia broke her rib because she couldn't. I didn't think she could hit it like backside or something like that. So she ended up in the hospital and we didn't have a car after that. So it was just me and my partner. And we would like bus around Montreal, bus, subway. Like sometimes we'd have to take three different connections to like try to find spot because we didn't really know.
How do you know where the spots are? Where are you getting your info? Like Google?
No, we just walked around. It was not well planned or successful either.
Right.
But it was like my realization of how much work you have to put into it too. And like it was minus 42 and like we took turns filming each other. Like it was so cold.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was my first time.
Did you get a part? Did you put something together from that?
I had a few shots only.
Yeah.
I think I had three or four shots on that whole trip. And I sent it to Danielle for Too Hard. Because I was like, I didn't know what else to do with it. I didn't have a plan. I just wanted to go do it.
That's amazing. I think that's such an important lesson for younger listeners, for sure. Like, people will reach out all the time and be like, how do you start a podcast? Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, you kind of look on the internet, Google it, and then you start a podcast. It's like,
yeah.
How do you become the best snowboarder in street? In the world, you go to Montreal.
You just start doing it.
I
mean, you can't wait for an opportunity always. You just like, you start doing it. And I mean, I think when you fail too and you learn the most, like I went on this trip, I spent all my money probably and like came home with like three terrible shots. But like then you learn a little bit every time and then you do a little better next time or you're a little more prepared and then you already have a camera that you bought or...
Right.
I don't know.
No, that's it. That's exactly it. And you're going back with a bit of confidence. Like, I got three shots last time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get 10 shots this time.
Yeah.
And I've been practicing in between. So now I'm way better.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about that spot that I went. I could do something better there or...
Yeah.
Yeah, find more
You got to start somewhere and... You can't succeed at the beginning.
No, for sure.
But then it can only get better, hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah. Holy smokes. So when did you do the Montreal trip? Like 3 years in to being out in Whistler or like first
year? This was in 2013 because it was the year before Taya was born.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're like, you're 5 years in by that point, right? Like you've been here a while. You've done the slopestyle thing. Mm-hmm. You're starting to get some skills.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, okay, now what I need to do is go to the street.
Yeah.
And get the legit, like, authentic street part thing.
Yeah.
And then you come back and you're like, okay, I got to practice more.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't really... No, I didn't feel defeated because I went on another trip the next year with Teo when he was 5 months old. So
oh, wow.
I guess, yeah.
Let's not jump over that because I think it's really, really important that you're a mom. Because a lot of professional women snowboarders had to delay their momness for their career. Mm-hmm. And you did it after you had him.
Yeah.
Essentially.
It makes no sense.
It kind of doesn't. It really doesn't. Like, how did you not get stuck in that trap of becoming a full-time mom all the time and putting your entire life and dreams on hold?
I think because... As I kind of mentioned, like since I came to Whistler, I kind of had like tunnel vision and like all I could focus on was snowboarding. And I mean, I do other things in life, but I'm a snowboarder. Like it's part of my identity now and I don't think I'll ever stop snowboarding. So I was just getting started with the things I really wanted to do. So I didn't even think about not snowboarding. I was like, how am I going to make this work? Instead of being like, oh, I can't snowboard anymore. So that was just like my go-to from the beginning. Like my whole pregnancy, I didn't really know what it would be like to have a child. But I was like, oh, maybe I can go on a trip here and then bring him. And I was just like trying to work that out in my head.
And when was the first trip that you bring him on? He's 5 months old?
Yeah, when he's 5 months old, I went back. I went to Quebec City.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. He came on a few. I went to a spot in Squamish, I remember, when he was, I want to say, 3 months old, maybe. And, like, I just had him in a big sleeping bag, and I would be, like, breastfeeding him, and then I'd go back to him. Like, he, you know, he was sleeping a lot.
Yeah. Kids are actually relatively easy to deal with for the first few months.
Yeah, except for you get no sleep when you're a mom. But yeah, you can, I mean, now that Teo is six and I see how much energy he has, I think a little baby was very easy.
Oh, yeah.
But he was he's my only and my first, so, you know, it's very life-changing and different, and you can't prepare yourself for that. So it's also, like, a lot of like, overwhelming in some ways and, like, new and... But yeah, fairly easy.
Yeah, and your career is starting to get some heat on you at that point.
Not that year. I don't even think. Let me just think. No, I did another trip then, and I filmed a few clips that year that I sent to Hard Again. And it wasn't until the first year after two, like when he was one, I did a few trips with him again, and that year I filmed a full part.
Oh, wow. For what movie?
It was in Too Hard Again. I can't. Yes. But it got re-edited by Marcus Skin, and then I just put it out. It's just on its own.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't part of anything at that time, or I didn't have any sponsors that wanted me in.
What board were you on at that point?
I was on a GNU board. I can't remember.
So did you get hooked up by GNU, or did you buy a GNU board thinking, okay, these look good, and then got onto GNU from having that?
I was already on GNU. I just got products from them. And I remember, like, so I was in contact with Barrett, and that was through... I rode for West Beach for a few years, but just flow.
Yeah.
And then my team manager from West Beach was like, hey, we should try to, like, I know Barrett, like, I can totally get you aboard.
Who was the team manager at West Beach?
Steve Outerbridge.
Cool, yeah. Cool. That's shout out to Steve.
Yeah, for getting thanks, you. Steve.
Yeah, in touch with Barrett. That's rad.
Yeah.
And then so does she ask for a, I guess in this day and age, you're just going to, like, here's a link to my video that's online.
Yeah, I think she just, like, she sent me a board, and then, like, we didn't talk, and then, like, that is so funny. I think I was pretty low-key. I was still filming, snowboarding, and then, like, after Teo was born, I was like, hey, sorry I haven't been in contact. I had a kid, so I've been a little out of the loop, but, like, can I have another board? And I think from there on, we started having more of a relationship, and, you know, I was more in contact with her. But, like, I think the whole sponsor side and how to, like, do that, I don't know, it's, like, so... was so new to me, and I've never really been, like, I didn't really know how to do that.
Yeah, how many years were you on GNU? You were on GNU for 4 or 5 or something?
Yeah, for a couple of years.
Yeah,
and I can't remember how many years.
Do you remember them ramping up the support? Like, did you write a contract and get a travel budget and get all that stuff going?
I got a contract. I got a little bit of support, but I wasn't, like, much... that wasn't my budget, like, we had, for me at that time. But Barrett were always looking out for me and helping me. And I think she probably had a say in, like, getting me into real snow, maybe. Like, she was super supportive.
Oh, yeah, right, because she's, like, an X Games superstar celebrity.
Yeah.
Mega gold winner.
She never told me. I think so.
You feel like that could be it, of course. Yeah, the reason I ask is because, you know, Jess's whole MO with Uninvited was like, okay, these girls aren't getting budgets, and so I guess I'll pay for them for now to get the footage and go on these trips and, like, make a movie to show, like, hey, if somebody out there, anybody, wants to pay the big bucks, you're going to get a lot for your money with these, you know. She handpicked so many incredible, incredible riders. Like, Uninvited 2 is just like, what are you talking about?
Holy smokes. Yeah.
Both of those movies. So, like, was she kind of supporting the group that you were with, or would she just call you and say like, hey, there's this trip, and then you call Barrett and go like, oh, it's a trip I want?
She would help me out with a few trips and like photographers or something, but she would help me wherever she could. But I mean, I was still kind of like the first few years, like a nobody, like, she helped me where she could.
Yeah. That uninvited part, like after that, you're not a nobody. Like that was like insane.
Thank you.
You won Women's Part of the Year with that, right?
I did.
Yeah. And well deserved. Like I went back and watched it. And I was like, jeez, how much pressure is on you to make a better part than that after? Jeez.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I don't know. I still haven't done it. Yeah. Next year.
You're working on it.
Yeah.
Squad goals.
It's always
Maria
the goal.
Goals. Yeah. Yeah.
To
of course.
Film like the best. I can't wait for that day I film a video part and I'm satisfied.
The uninvited part you won with, you weren't satisfied.
I don't remember me being satisfied. I mean, once you get, if you win video part of the year, like obviously you're like, oh, well, I'm doing something right. But like, I can always like pinpoint something I don't like about my style or my writing or like something else I wanted to do. It's just like, it's just who I am. I'm just not satisfied with myself, with my writing. Like I, not like the whole, like I always want to do more.
Yes, that makes total sense. I mean, that's what drives most of the people that are going to have win video part of the year.
I agree.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's going to be something there behind that. Yeah. Like when I hear about just, yeah, people that film video parts and there is a friend aspect to it that seems to be key to some of my favorite video parts. You know, like I like LNP. Do you know who that is? Laurent? Yeah.
I do.
Like, holy shit. And, but then hearing him talk about the process, he was with, you know, like Ben and a bunch of Louis, like guys that if your trick wasn't perfect, they'd be like, not afraid to tell you.
No.
Your hand kind of comes up.
They're amazing too. Yeah. They're very picky.
Picky. Mm-hmm. And pickiness is so key to these video parts. We don't, as a general public, watch these video parts thinking, oh, glad he was picky about that. We don't even know that maybe Louis filmed that trick 20 times and chose that one angle and that one shot.
I think it's changing a little bit though, because with like social media and you just like have so much content coming out and people forget and they don't put like you can, I think it's, I see more of like just like stuff that maybe shouldn't have been out or just like something you're like, oh, well, I'm just going to put this clip out. And then like, it's seen and people like it and they forget or like it's changed a little bit.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's sort of doing this wave thing. Like, cause videos died. There was like video premieres before you got into it. There was video premieres where 500 people would get together and have an insane party and pay $20 a ticket. You know what I mean? Like it was like, there were people making money selling movie premiere tickets and then they'd sell the video and they'd make more money. And then all of a sudden, you know, online edits started coming out, like, and web series, and like there was this vibe of like, oh, all the new guys are going to do this. And then there was, you know, the end of the videos, and then videos kind of came back and had like a renaissance for a bit. I think the Burton One World video is a testament to that. Like, it's fun to watch. It makes you want to go snowboarding.
I love video parts, and that's like, I feel like that's one of the things that I'm excited about, like the fall when you get all the video comes out, and like, because that way you can like be excited and you can like focus a little more than just like every day scrolling through your phone or like, I like, it can be a little overwhelming to keep up, I think.
Oh, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Even just videos. Like, totally. If you wanted to watch every video from this year, I hope you've got a few weeks. Like, there's a lot of videos coming out. And so it feels like it's like I'm nervous about it. There's like that crash again at the end of where there's too many videos.
Yeah. You got to pick and choose.
Yeah, totally. And it's hard too. Like our attention span, my attention span, like the Uninvited 2, I probably set aside the right amount of time. I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit. I'm going to watch it all the way through. And then I got a message on my phone or something and I got taken out of the moment. I had to restart it and then I'd run out of time. And then had to watch it again. So like I watched the first part three times because I want to watch it all the way through.
Well, I think you have to watch videos. Like if you like videos, like I think sometimes they get even better the third time you watch them. Mm-hmm. You like will notice everything. Where the first time you kind of watch it and you're like, oh, that was, you have like a first impression. But then a third time you notice like details and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's true. It took me an hour to, or longer, hour and a half to get through the One World video because I kept being like, oh my God, what was that? Yeah. I had to do that with your part last night. I'm like, hold on. Your uninvited part starts with two board slides that one's regular, one's goofy. And I'm like, oh shit, I don't know if she's regular or goofy. And that was tight. That was sick. I was like, oh, that's exactly how you want to start a part. Like where if you don't know the rider, you're like, okay, hold on. That goofy one looked like it was kind of switch. Let's see. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then you see like a really hard trick. You're like, okay, she's definitely regular.
You got to pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. It's fun. I love video parts for sure. I'm not even a street rider. I get hurt on the most simplest of street features in a park with a ride on. You know what I mean? Like I used to enjoy it a lot more than I do. It's a different genre of snowboarding. Mm-hmm. Did you have a skateboard background or anything?
No.
That's so incredible.
I actually just picked up skateboarding. Like I skated a little bit throughout the years, but not a lot. And then this summer, I just fell in love with skateboarding too. So I've been skating so much. And I think because Teo really likes skateboarding and like, he's getting a lot better than me. So I'm like, I'm really competitive. So like, I'll get competitive with him. I can't really accept that he's getting ahead of me yet.
Awesome. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of ties in with the group thing, like going out with a crew. Uh-huh. You guys kind of want to one up each other, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Right? I think like in a good way, I think it's really healthy to have a certain amount of competition. Doesn't mean you can't be supportive, but like, you know, you look at what other people put out and you're like, oh, I need to step it up. And it's, you know, that's why we like race each other up, because we're probably all where we are. Like, I mean, when I say all, like girls or guys too, that films video part, like competitive at some degree. Like you want to like do the best and do better than other people. And I think that's why we push each other and get better.
Yeah, of course. Did it change when you went to Burton? What was the big change for, like, did your crew change? Did your, did your attitude change? What changed? And how did it happen? Let's go to like, do you get a phone call from someone at Burton being like, holy shit, we need you on the team?
It was just a talk for a little bit, for a couple of months. And then my contract was ending with Canoe. Mm-hmm. So I started talking to them at Burton. And like, I mean, I'm a huge fan of the Burton team, and you know, I know how supportive they are of women. So I figured it was time for just a little like change in my career.
Yeah.
And I started with a whole new crew. My first trip was to Newfoundland filming for One World, and I was a newbie, and like Ethan was there, Nils and Maxie. So Max Seve, Ethan Dice, and Neil Shack. Alexander's with us too, but I flew in, never met any of them. And that can be kind of scary because you don't know if you're going to get along with these people or not. And I was the brand new one, so definitely a little butterflies. But we just like got along from like day one. Like they took so good care of me. It felt like we'd been friends forever. And it was like a really nice environment. Like it was like a family. And also because we got snowed in Newfoundland, I got stuck in a bomb cyclone. Like it was kind of like a team building experience, you know, like we didn't have electricity. We couldn't really get food. Like it was quite the experience, but like probably the funnest trip I've ever been on.
Wow.
We didn't want to go home. I think I cried. I don't know. Maybe I shed a tear. It was really amazing. And I think that's been my experience with like the whole Burton crew. Like it's such a big but tight family. And you feel like you're part of like a family. which I've never really, I didn't really get that feeling with Gnu. We didn't have like, I didn't do any team trips or anything like that. So I'm super happy that I get to be part of that.
That's rad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was your position on Gnu? Were they talking about giving you a pro model or anything like that? Like, was it, or were you like,
no,
essentially like a, you know, like an A-team rider or?
I don't really, I'm not sure what the plan was. I just feel like it fit me better to go somewhere where I was like included in something a little more, you know?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you're kicking ass. Like, and no offense to Gnu at all. Like Mervin, no, those guys are awesome.
I love those people. Yeah. And like they helped me for a time in my life that I need, like with a bunch of stuff. So
yeah,
I'm thankful.
The creative energy there is really fun. Hey.
Yeah.
And then you come over to this Burton family and it's hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm.
And they welcome you with open arms, it sounds like. So that's good.
Very, yeah.
You fly into Newfoundland and then how much did it snow? It snowed like 20 feet or something, like 10 feet.
Like, I don't know, like insane. I've never seen that much snow like fall at once. It was insane.
Yeah.
Like it was too much snow. We couldn't do anything after. We couldn't like, we were like in snowshoes in the street and like people were riding their snowmobiles. Like, I think you get a glimpse of it in One World, but
yeah.
Like, it was actually like really crazy to be part of. I've never experienced, I feel like my grandparents like talked about that back in the day when they got a snowfall, that would be so insane. But I felt like I was back in the day sometimes. And yeah, like you couldn't hit any rails because everything was buried completely. We couldn't drive anywhere. So we were like walking around with our shovels and we just really ended up like digging out people.
Excuse me for 1 second. I got to cough like crazy.
Oh, don't worry.
So I had a crazy coughing fit, mostly I think because the air was pretty dry in there from the fire warmed home. Could have had something to do with the cigarettes I smoked the night before. But anyways, I got it under control and we went back into the interview. I think kombucha will keep me from coughing. Feels good. I feel like I'm back to normal.
I'm just going to have a sip here. It's so tasty.
GT's kombucha, sponsor the show. No, I want them to.
Yeah,
if you work at GT's Kombucha and you listen to this show, you need to reach out for sure, 100%. Have you ever tried the root beer one that they have?
No.
Oh, God, it's so good.
I always just get the ginger one because it's my favorite.
Yeah, ginger's good.
And that's usually what I make myself, too. I always just make ginger.
You can actually take, because these are alive, you can just like take the ginger one or the original and use that and it'll grow mother from that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you don't need to get any other stuff.
It's fairly simple.
Yes. Yeah.
But what was I say? I don't know where these guys are from, but it's also the Butcher Brew from the lady lives in Whistler.
Yeah, Whistler.
Yeah.
This one's California.
Yeah, you should get on the local stuff.
Yeah, it's true. Hey,
I'm sure that would sponsor the podcast.
Oh, probably. Hey. Yeah, I love kombucha.
Mm-hmm.
So when you win Video Part of the Year, you mentioned that you partied pretty hard.
I partied that night, yeah.
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 What does that look like? Is that going out to a bar or is that?
Yeah, it was at a bar. Like you were at first you were at the big like venue, I guess. It's a big like hall and like everyone get called up on stage and then you go backstage, get your photo.
Yeah.
And I remember like getting backstage and like I was like overwhelmed with feelings. I'm so nervous too. And I just like, then they have ton of tequila. Like, it's just this. I think they're sponsored by Don Julio, my favorite tequila.
Nice.
And yeah, big night for sure. It was celebrating. And as I told you, I broke my hip too. So I was like bummed. And then I flew home the next day, I think, the day after.
Hungover,
yes. And went home to recover.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you take summers off then?
No, I usually snowboard here. Like we had the glacier open until like in July.
Yeah.
So usually like that's like my favorite time to snowboard, the spring.
Yeah, it's the best.
And the glacier is so fun, but it wasn't open this year. And this year I went down to Hood instead with the Burton crew.
It's so good, right? Mount Hood's my favorite.
Fun.
It is so. No offense, Canada and Whistler. The glacier here is great, but
There's something special about that place.
Set up at Timberline, the big, beautiful mountain there in the middle of like flat everywhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't have a bad time. But we actually ran into a little bit of a weather when we were there. Like it was sunny, but so strong winds that they would have the mountain closed for a few days. So I think I extended my trip like 2 extra days or something because we didn't have many.
Yeah.
But we had fun.
Oh, yeah. That looked like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I was super jealous of, because Mark was down there with you guys too. I was like, wait, wasn't he just in Canada?
Yeah.
And I'm like, how are they doing this?
Yeah, we were lucky we made it down.
Yeah,
And then I quarantined again. I quarantined a few times, but after that I was like, ugh, I don't want to quarantine anymore now.
Well, they're getting these quick tests. I'm hearing there's certain airports that have the quick tests.
I hope so.
So you can test on your way out. So you, when you get there, you don't have to quarantine and test on your way back. Calgary, I think, has it.
Calgary, I've heard about that, but we don't have it here in BC yet.
Not yet.
Like, we have to quarantine for 2 weeks, which is a long time.
Yeah, of course.
The summer wasn't too bad because I did a lot of gardening. I was so busy there, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, to answer your question, I usually don't take summers off. I like snowboarding. I would snowboard like all year round if I could.
Oh, that's awesome. But you think about it all the time.
Yeah. But I think sometimes it's nice with a break where I love snowboarding. I have so much FOMO when I see other people snowboarding. But like in the month here where we can't snowboard, it's like I get time to like focus on other things too and just like, yeah. Enjoy.
Recharge your batteries. And you were saying that your son, Teo, is learning to snowboard this year.
He can snowboard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, this was his first time going this year.
This year.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
He started on skis when he was super little. Mm-hmm. And then he's gone to snowboard school two days a week. The last year and the year before.
Awesome.
So yeah, last year was really fun. Like we'd go up together and like we're competitive again, but we'd like see who can like ollie the highest of little side hits and stuff.
Sweet.
Yeah. He get kind of mad though if I try hard. So I like have to dummy myself down a little bit. Probably not much longer.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that with the kids. You just play right to their level.
Yeah.
And then when they get really aggressive, you go, hey, look, you know what? If I try, I can beat you.
Yeah, you fall. I just fall on purpose or something.
Yeah, sure.
On purpose, right?
That's so awesome. Does he watch your video parts?
No. No. I'm just his mom. Like, I mean, he loves me, but I'm still like, what did he call me the other day? It was so funny. He told me and my friend, he's like, you guys are such kooks. But I think he heard us say it, but I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not a kook. But yeah, I'm not like, I don't think he thinks I'm cool at all. I'm just his annoying mom that tell him to eat his vegetables.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Like as long as you give them love, like you're just like their mom mm-hmm. or their dad. And you're lame no matter what.
So you've got a life where you're quite comfortable when you're traveling and he's here.
Yeah, it's always very different. As I think we talked earlier about planning this meeting, I'm not a very good planner.
Yeah, right.
So this is I'm put to a test this year because he's in school. So like now I have to plan like lunches and made homework and all this stuff.
The
so
timeline.
A little more planning in my life these days. But usually I'll just go with the flow. I'll be like wanting to go on a trip or got a trip planned. And then he will either go to his dad's or my parents will come over or fly him to Denmark.
Wow.
Or his grandma is in Vancouver too. So I have people to help me when I'm not around. And this year will be different because he's in school. So he will be here.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times he's either came with me or he's been in Denmark visiting because my whole family's there, so I think it's really awesome for him to go hang out with his great grandma. And
it's an incredible place for a kid. I remember popsicles that are just like insane and lots of candy. Like it's a very like kid friendly country.
It is
very happy people,
lots of hygge. Danish people do a lot of hygge.
Okay.
Like there's like cuddling in front of TV with candy and like, I don't know, like make it cozy. Like it's part of like a culture to hygge.
Yeah.
I think there's a few books about that too.
Rad.
Like people know about it.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's, yeah, it's awesome for him to see where I came from and like get a bit of the culture and get to know all my family that are far away.
Mm-hmm. Are they all supportive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All supportive. And yeah, so they come here a lot too, especially when he was like very young. They came and helped. And they were like, we know we don't like are close, so we can't help you on a daily basis. Well, when we're here, just go do your thing. You're free.
Oh, that's
and, like,
so sweet.
It doesn't mean I clog out. I'm still a mom and when I'm here, but like,
yeah.
I got to have fun and go snowboarding as much as I wanted or go hike or on an overnight or something, which was nice.
So cool. Yeah, you're balancing it. I think that's what most of the interviews I've heard with you kind of focus on. How the hell do you balance that?
Yeah.
And it appears to come from, you know, a place of like knowing what's really important to you with snowboarding and being comfortable with accepting help with raising your kid too.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, I probably spent more time with Teo than a lot of parents do. Like, you know, when I'm not snowboarding, like he's always been home a lot and like he's such a mama's boy and like we have so many years of fun together, but then I'm just gone for a long period. But then when I'm here, I'm here.
Yeah.
Too. So like, I don't, I feel really lucky and I don't think that he was neglected in any way. I think it was very healthy for him.
Yeah.
And it is. Yeah.
Yeah. That's very, very cool. When he's in the park, are you pushing him? Are you like, okay, I think I see you could probably front board that. Or are you like the mom, like, oh my God, stay away from that. You're going to get hurt.
I really just let him do his thing because I think from the beginning, I'm so scared that I'll push him too much and he won't like snowboarding.
Yeah.
So I've been wanting to let him. That's why I started him on skis. Mm-hmm. And then he wanted to go to snowboard school and I let him. So I kind of let him like lead the way.
Cool.
And like he'll jump on boxes and I'm like, I won't say he can't, but I'm like, oh, be like, oh, bend those legs. Like the other day, oh my God, it was so funny at Grouse. I went there yesterday with him and like the guy was like raking the takeoff and like Teo just like go around him, doesn't know he can't do it. And then like get up the box. Like it was an up flat box or an up down or something.
Yeah.
And like he goes so fast, just flies up the top and like tacos so bad. And I'm like, oh my God, but just like gets up and he's like, I'm fine. And then like we go down to the chair and he's like, oh, I'll never really hurt. But like he'll be like tough guy if I'm not around. But then when I come, he's like, mama.
That's so rad. You're reminding me, I've taken my kids up Grouse a million times. They have no idea what the conditions are.
No.
Like they don't know what they're riding on. Like you'll go riding with them. Though I remember my kids riding so fast and me being like, it's too icy to ride today. They're like, no, there's no one here. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Let's go. And you're just thinking in your mind, like one bail and maybe snowboarding is over. I don't want, let's go home.
No, they're made of rubber.
Yeah,
they'll be
yeah,
like,
that's true.
That I like, true. I've seen him take some very gnarly bails and he's totally fine. Like I would have broken my legs or something for sure. But yeah, definitely try not to push him at all.
Just make it a fun experience.
Totally.
Yeah. It's a long drive. You guys drove, you know, 4.5-5 hours to go snowboarding for a couple of hours.
Yeah. But we're both so excited. Like, we've been talking about snowboarding and we've been so excited. So it was worth the drive, I think.
Do you have a pass up there?
No, we just bought a day ticket.
So you're up there and nobody's like, oh, that's her.
No,
I don't. You don't get bothered.
No, I don't think so at all.
Yeah.
I sometimes Grouse gives us tickets. They did last year. And just if you just like do a little Instagram, but I wasn't going to do anything. It was my first day. I just wanted to be putting my face mask on and be hidden.
Yeah. Yeah. That's different. That's like a different contract era. Like a lot of the people that have been on the show, like thought they made it if they had, you know, $500 a month in contracts from like boots and goggles and boards and outerwear, and then you have those contracts, and then the only other part for a lot of people was then you get more money if you get in the magazines or film a video part, or you know what I mean. Like it wasn't like you have to do this year,
yeah,
or we're going to cut off your money.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now it's, everything's pretty well managed, right? Like your social media presence has to be on point, and you've got to film with the right crews, or I'm guessing.
I mean, those things are in contract. I don't know. I think, I've never gotten a warning or anything like that. I mean, I just do what I do. I don't really feel like it's super forced.
Cool.
For me too, it's kind of fun. I don't like to document everything, but sometimes when you take out the camera or like your phone, it's like you'll try a little harder. So it's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, sometimes it's too much too. And I wouldn't want to have to like post something like, or like have it calculated. Be like, you have to do it here and here and here. Like, I want to do it because I want to, because
yeah,
I did something yeah. that I want to share.
Yeah. That's where I'm at with the podcast is business-wise, I should be more professional about it. Mm-hmm. And I should be doing posts regularly and lots of story stuff. And then I just find myself being burned out on looking at Instagram.
Yeah. It can burn you out real fast.
So fast. Yeah. I get scrolly when I open it up to just anything.
Yeah.
Like send a text. And then you're like 20 minutes later, you're like, what am I doing?
Yeah. You have to have like, I don't have it, but I heard people have like a timer on their.
I have a timer on mine.
You do.
Well, the thing is, then it says timer. And then you're like, okay, ignore.
Oh, gotcha.
And then it says ignore for a minute, ignore for an hour, ignore for today.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I almost always just ignore for today. And it's like a surprise.
It's kind of like your alarm clock.
Oh, it's been an hour? Okay, yeah, ignore. Cool. Yeah, and it's going to be a bunch more hours too. So.
It doesn't do anything.
No. For me personally,
it doesn't. You're just aware of it, but then it doesn't matter anyway.
A little bit. Yeah. I've started getting into Mario Kart. I have like Mario Kart on my phone. So at least I'm doing something. You know what I mean?
You can play Mario Kart on your phone?
Yeah, totally. It's awesome. It's so much fun.
Me and my dad used to like, my mom would never let us do it, but me and my dad would like game all day on my Nintendo when I was young.
Oh, that's awesome. So tell your dad, because you can play Mario Kart with him online.
No way.
He can be at home. And you can
oh my God, this could be dangerous.
Yeah, and you guys can join the same races and just, it's really fun.
I'll have to check it out
though. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. That's cool. Your face lit up when you talk about playing video games with your dad.
Oh yeah, it was
good. You were very close with both your parents?
Yeah, both my parents and my dad was definitely like, we'd play video games inside all day, like, and like have a competition about who could eat the most burgers and stuff. And then my mom on the other hand would like get me outside and be the healthy one, and like, yeah, I got a good balance there, I think.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. But he was a professional athlete as well, or a semi-pro athlete.
Like soccer player too, soccer and handball at the same time in his younger days, but he always worked too.
Yeah.
So I guess semi-professional at that time. I don't think there was that much money in it back in the days in Denmark, where now there is. Like now people are full-time professional handball players.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
What a country that's there. What's the sport? Is that like their hockey? Is that like everybody watches it?
Everybody watches handball. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'll call my grandma sometimes and she's like, oh. She still tells me about like who won and all this stuff. And I'm like,
who's the like star handball person?
I have no idea. I don't follow handball anymore. It used to be this girl, Anja Andersen.
Nice.
Yeah. She was my favorite. She was so good.
That's a very Danish name.
Yeah. I think we won the Olympics or something like that at that time. And like, it was big and they had like the dream team, but yeah, I really don't follow it anymore.
Of course.
If I go home and there's a tournament, like, I don't know, the European Championship, I can get really sucked into it, but
cool.
I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, that's fun. That's kind of me for snowboarding. If it like crosses my path, if I see it in an Instagram scroll, like, oh, this movie's out today, then I'll click the link.
Yeah.
And other than that, it's like, I want to go snowboarding. Snowboarding is for me, the act of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I went every day last week that they were open. So I got 7 resort days in.
At Cypress.
Out of 8, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were they fully booked out? I thought about coming down.
For lift tickets, yes.
Yeah, I've actually never been to Cypress. I always go Seymour or Grouse.
Cypress is different than Grouse and Seymour.
Mm-hmm.
Seymour's got the best vibe out of the North Shore Mountains, for sure.
Yeah.
And has like kind of the most fun terrain as far as like side hits and
side
all that
hits
stuff.
And yeah, Seymour is definitely special, but like, mm-hmm. I do really like Grouse, too.
Grouse does the park so well. Marcus at Grouse is insane.
Yeah, Marcus.
Yeah, he's the best. Yeah. And the terrain there actually on a pow day is really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fun. It's a fun spot.
Yeah. I've always been a little jealous that they have all the night riding. And
oof, it's so good.
I mean, I don't want a night ride every day, but I just there's something about it that's like really nice. And I would love to if we just had it a few times a week here in Whistler, I think that'd be nice.
I think they used to have it on one chair when
years
I was out
ago,
here.
I think.
Yeah, years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they do it? It seems so strange.
Probably don't make enough money.
Yeah, it's a dollar and cents thing. They would this year. People are going snowboarding and skiing like crazy. Like the parking lots are full. The lift lines are insanely long. And it's been like that for years.
Yeah.
Like Grouse does a thing every year. They do a 24-hour. They're open for 24 hours.
Oh, I didn't know.
Oh, it's so awesome. You go at like 4 in the morning. You watch the sunrise. It's so awesome. Oh, my God.
I didn't know that.
The first year that they did it, the 24 hours, everyone brought up alcohol and the line was like a bar.
Sounds fun.
It was insane.
Okay.
I'm not advocating of like going and getting super wasted. But I mean, sure I am. It's fun. It's at a resort. It's amazing.
I like a couple of drinks, but it's funny because I really don't like to drink and snowboard.
Yeah.
I don't really find it like I'll have one, but if I get over one, I get so shaky. So I try to always like, I'll wait for till after.
Yeah, the après for sure. Grouse has really nice après too with that overlooking the city and everything. Oh my God.
It's nice up there.
It's cool that you know that about, I mean, it's pretty far from where you live.
No.
You live pretty far from Whistler, even, like, for a professional snowboarder.
Sometimes I thought about going the other way and going towards Squamish, but
yeah,
I really like small towns, and Squamish is, like, getting, like, even Pemberton is getting bigger and bigger, and I'm, like, thinking that I need to go further out, but because of Teo, it's nice that he can, like, bike himself to school and stuff like that, you know, and he'll be old enough soon that he, like, want to hang out with his friends, and it's good to be close to town, but if I could decide, I'd probably be out in Birken or out the meadows where there was like no neighbors.
Except Victoria.
Yeah.
She's out there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. She can be my neighbor.
Yeah. Imagine just bumping into her.
I would love, maybe she could teach me a thing or two.
Oh, she'd probably take you sledding and then.
You try to find her. Let me know if you find her.
I will. I will for sure.
I'm going to knock on her door.
Yeah. Just pop by. Hi.
I'm a big fan.
I'm a huge fan. I'm on the Burton team. Maybe we should be friends.
Yeah, I would be friends with her.
Yeah, for sure. She's cool. I met her one time way down Oregon or something. And I said to her, oh, you should come to Canada. It's so awesome. And she's like, I'm from Kelowna. Do you feel like a pull towards the backcountry living up here? Like one day I got to get a sled once I'm...
Yeah.
Once I'm established on the team and I'll start adding a couple of clips of some smaller jumps or like a nice big pow turn.
I think as I told you, I don't just love sliding rails. Like I love snowboarding in all forms and all ways. And so I would like to learn new things. Like that's kind of my drive. I like to progress and learn new things. So I think that I'm definitely drawn to it. It's just there's not enough hours in a day to learn all these things and do all the things I want to do. But I'm sure that I'll eventually get a sled.
Is it a little bit when you see there's so many good snowboarders in the backcountry? Like, do you see that and you're kind of like, that would be a lot of work to get to there. So like, I'm going to stay here where I'm like at the edge of the competition.
No, I don't see it like that. I just see it like it would be a fun opportunity. Like I would like them to take me out and like teach me some things. And no, it's just another thing I want to learn. I just know I have a long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I am ahead of the street game. So like I definitely want to hold on to that in a way.
Yeah.
Like I want to keep pushing that. Because I love it too.
Yeah.
But I want to do both. I want to do it all.
I mean, that's what snowboarding's about, like basically doing what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Really, for me, it's kind of always been that. Go do what you want.
Yeah, like whatever comes natural or feels good. Mm-hmm. And if one day doesn't feel good to slide down metal anymore, I'll probably won't do it. But
yeah,
it's still fun.
Are you getting to give your input on product design yet at Burton, or are you still so new to the team that you're?
No, we've been having, these virtual Zoom roundtables,
mm-hmm.
where the whole team is talking about products and what we like, given our feedback.
Yeah.
So it's been super cool to be part of. And yeah, I definitely think that I have a voice. That's Rad. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that's super cool. Yeah, they're a rider-driven company.
Yeah. Honestly, mm-hmm. it's so good to be part of a brand that listen to you and want to include you too. It just, yeah, I think that's, I mentioned a few times, but it feels like a big family. And I think that that's one of the reasons why too. They're like, they want to hear your opinion and they want to make sure that you get heard.
Yeah. Well, probably also there's a big advantage to having the best riders in the world design your stuff.
Of course.
Because you want to design it so that it works.
Yeah.
You know, obviously. That's awesome.
Yeah.
What was your favorite bit about getting on Burton? Like when you start getting these boxes, do you start getting like Anon goggles and the whole kit with the clothing and everything as well? Or are you on... Are you on other sponsors for?
I get Modest goggles still, and yeah. I get Stan socks from Time Bomb, but the rest of it is all Burton. And
those guys are awesome too.
It's just, it's so exciting to get those boxes, and it's like just high quality products. And I don't think I've ever had any like really good outerwear, or just didn't realize it. And like,
yeah.
When we live in this area, we definitely need some Gore-Tex waterproof stuff.
Oh my God, totally.
Yeah, I love their products, the look and the quality of it. So it's, I don't know. I don't know if there's any thing that I'm like extra excited. I'm just excited to get the boxes.
Yeah, it's so fun when you get new gear.
Yeah.
You're trying it on. It's not even snowing yet. Now it is.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, I know it's going to be a good season with this stuff.
I know. I'm actually getting one tomorrow. I just could see it in UPS, and Teo is getting a snowboard. So it's fun to see. He's definitely very excited about it too. And he has this Burton onesie too, and he'll go to his friends at school. I can hear him. He's like, is that Burton? Is that Burton? Like, and I know he thinks I'm lame, but he thinks Burton is pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's hard sometimes to not like, I don't know, to say your opinion. We do it with like the scooter kids at the skate park too.
Oh, totally right. They're in the way.
Like, and Teo, well, I can see him like not be mean, but be like, you shouldn't scooter here. And I'm like, shh. Like, don't say anything. Like, he's just a kid. But
yeah,
they
yeah.
listen to us too and get like,
oh, so much
influenced.
Hey.
Yeah,
so much. Yeah, I told my kids both that they were not allowed to scooter.
Yes,
and they got scooters. They broke me. I was
it's
like,
hard. Teo wants, I let him be stay at the skate park the other day. Well, this is a few weeks ago. And I was like, just come home for dinner. It's just over here.
Yeah.
And like, I was like looking at the time and it's like 6 o'clock. And I'm like, where is he? So I have to go over there. And he's the only kid with another kid there. And they have traded. So Teo is on the kid's scooter.
Oh no.
And he was just like so happy scootering around, and I was like cringing.
Because it's so easy. It's so easy.
Yeah, and I told him every time I hear, he's like, hey, do you want to trade? And I was like, no, you stay on your skateboard. Like, you don't scooter. And he's like, he always wants a scooter for Christmas, and it's never going to happen. I told him, you can't have a scooter.
Good luck on that one. He'll find it some way.
He's getting really good at skateboarding, I think now it just took a while. But of course kids want a scooter because it's so easy, as
so
you're saying.
Easy. Yeah.
And skateboarding is so hard.
Insanely hard.
So for little kids, it makes more sense. But, you know, everything can't be that easy. They have to have like...
That's a really good... That was probably where I lost my kids too. Like, look... Dad doesn't have any say in what we do anymore. Because I really was like, you can't scooter and you can't rollerblade. I'm sorry, you're just not allowed. It's just, you're allowed to do absolutely everything else. Just don't scooter or rollerblade.
Yeah. It's hard for them to understand.
Yeah, well,
and it's even hard to explain.
Yeah, it's hard to explain because at the end of the day, it's like, well, they're having fun.
Yeah.
And then, like, I've filmed some clips of my kid on a scooter, like, dropping, like, a Sarasota or whatever, and the look on his face, he's so, like, stoked about it. And I'm stoked to be, because he's out doing something awesome.
Totally. I mean, I get it, yeah. As long as your kid is doing something. No, thank God.
I didn't post it.
I don't know if you should be saying it on the show either. But.
I probably have to cut it out. No, I've said on the show, I scootered. Like when I was a kid, they didn't have the folding scooters.
Okay.
They had BMX scooters that had like tires and stuff. It faded fast. But whatever. That's why I'm like, you guys don't have to go through this humiliation.
No.
I know what is going to make you cool. But that's not what makes you cool, really.
No.
Your dad telling you what's cool, it's not cool.
No. They actually probably want to make them do it even more.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally.
In Denmark, actually, I remember going to this, like, Fælledparken. It's a big, like, park in Copenhagen where they have, like, a huge skate park. But they have separate parks for scooters.
That's so smart.
Yeah, they separate them. So, like, scooters are absolutely not allowed at the skate park. And vice versa.
I think some listeners are looking up right now, like, how much does it cost to move to Denmark?
Denmark is very cool, for sure. It's very cool in its own ways, but just the outdoors activities that I'm so drawn to is not like a thing, really.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's very educational. And
it's an old country. Like, it's been there for a long time. The cities are established, and the things that you do, you get into your routine.
Totally. Yeah. It's very, when I go home and here I am just a snowboarder, like, I mean, my friends don't tell me, but they're like, oh, you're still just snowboarding? Like, aren't you going to get an education, Maria? And like, they don't understand or they can't wrap their head around like what I'm doing. And even that I was a stay-at-home mom, like they're, you know, there you have like so much support. So like your kids go to like daycare from like, I don't know, they want or something like that. And like, there's no stay-at-home moms there. Like, it's...
Wow, really? Yeah.
Yeah, like, maybe for a year or two, like, to get their paid thing, but...
Right. There's a lot of professional development there.
Yeah.
Like, they go out of their way. I'm just guessing on this, but I've kind of looked into it. To be like, you get to choose what you get to do. Like, you're not going to be pigeonholed into doing something just for money, because... Like, the different careers pay essentially the same salary. Is that not right?
I mean, we have a pretty high, lowest salary, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I think everyone is paid well, regardless. I mean, of course, as a doctor, you make more than a physio or something like that. But like, the highest paid people are taxed so high too. So they won't actually make that big of a difference.
Right.
But I mean, it's not a bad country to be part of for
a lot
of reasons, for your healthcare, for your educational system.
Yeah.
People, the weaker, I'd say, or people in the system are well taken care of. Or if you can't take care of yourself, or if you're like mentally ill, or so, like single moms, or like pretty much millionaires.
I know what you mean
now, but you don't actually have to work. I think Danish people have a pretty good moral in general. So like most people want to work and contribute.
Yeah.
But I think in some ways it can be a problem, but like any system has pros and cons, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course. That's so fun. Yeah, I like talking about Denmark, but it has nothing to do with snowboarding because there's no snowboarding there.
No, and I mean, there isn't, and I haven't lived there for so many years. I feel a little disconnected to it just because I don't really know what's going on. I don't follow politics there even or anything, which is hopefully my mom and them will listen to this. it's part of who I am.
They still have a queen, right?
Yeah.
And she smokes. It's so insane to see her.
She smokes and her teeth are like brown and falling out.
Yeah, she's just like, she is unapologetically like, I'm the royal. And I don't give a shit. I just smoke. That's what I do.
Uh-huh.
But they also, let's talk about it, because you live up here in a beautiful spot. You farm in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, sustainability is something that is important to you. It's big at Burton right now. Huge, right? Copenhagen has been a world leader on some green initiatives, like for a very long time, like the biking. I remember there was a World's Fair there where they brought where the hell was it? It was in China. The World's Fair was there, and the Danish exhibit was a boat filled with the harbor water from Copenhagen, and people could swim in it. And so it was in this filthy bay outside of Beijing, and they were like, our most busy port has water you can swim in.
I didn't know that.
Oh, okay. Well,
no, I didn't even know.
Isn't that dope? That's so,
that is like, really dope, and I'm happy to hear that. I actually didn't know that we were. I know now, but I didn't know that we'd been a leader in that for years. Because I actually thought, like, I remember being like aware of like buying organic and buying local and all this stuff, and like I was telling my mom, and my mom was like, "Oh, but it's way too expensive. Like, I'm gonna buy the cheap stuff." And like I thought that they were a little more behind in a lot of ways, because like you couldn't really buy organic stuff in Denmark in the way. But then I went home and I could see that it's coming. Like, so I felt like we were following the States a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, because we are very such an educational system, like people are very smart there. So of course, right now, luckily enough, we're super aware of like our environment and to be environmentally friendly. So of course they're going to be leaders because they're so smart too.
Yeah,
they'll
yeah.
invent things. So
yeah, I agree with that big time. There's a green initiative happening across Europe in the European Union that is started from actually ideas here. Well, not here, but in the States, where people are really fed up. But then when coronavirus hit in the States, the government said, well, coronavirus, we can't do anything. And the European Union said, well, coronavirus, with this stimulus package, we've got to put 30% of the money that we're putting into the economy into greening the economy, like green initiatives, green jobs.
Well, we don't really have a choice either. We're not at a very good place. I mean, 30% is not even that much, but it's better than nothing.
Right.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you. 30% wasn't enough. I think Greta Thunberg and the and the group was like, you're not there yet. Like, don't pat yourself on the back.
Yeah.
But it's sweeping across Europe,
yeah.
the green initiatives. And I think that's really important to say on the show because we don't get that on the news here.
Yeah.
So
I need to look into this. I could totally be lying right now. But I know that Copenhagen has this big hill that they've built. I don't know if you've seen it. It's this like kind of futurist looking building, and you can snowboard on grass there.
Wow.
But I think this is where I don't really know. I looked it up and I forget things that I read, but I think it's a power plant of something. Like, it creates power, but like green power in some way.
Very cool.
And I still haven't gotten a chance to go there and snowboard, but it's definitely, I'm gonna have to call the marketing director
and have them fly you over.
I know.
You're like the most famous Danish snowboarder ever. Come on.
I probably am. I don't think there's been any.
I don't know of
actually,
any other.
There's been one girl. I went to the Olympics, border crosser. She's the only one, but yeah, right now is probably not the time to travel.
Oh yeah, you're right on that.
Just because I'm gonna wait.
Yep.
Until I don't have to quarantine.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah. I hate coronavirus.
Yeah, me too. But I think a lot of people can probably agree on that. We're all tired of it.
Tired of it big time.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, let's go out on a bang. What do we got? What's the future? What's the future for Maria?
I don't know.
Film that ultimate part that you're so proud of.
The ultimate video part I would like to film. Yeah. Maybe this year.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll ever film it. I think it's just going to be the goal forever.
I hope so. I mean, no, I hope that you film it. I hope that you feel completely fulfilled and then you buy a sled and go into the backcountry.
Yeah, I think it'll be a bit of mix of both. Not a planner in the daily, definitely not about the future either. But I know that I will snowboard.
Awesome. This has been fun. Is there anyone you want to thank? Other than, I mean, we basically did an hour-long Burton commercial.
Yeah, thanks, Burton. I love you guys.
Yeah, they're awesome.
No, I guess my family, because I couldn't have done, I wouldn't be where I am without them. And my whole family and being supportive with Teo, and Teo for understanding I have to go. But yeah.
Sweet.
Thanks for coming.
Hey, thank you for having me. This has been really, really fun.
Yeah.
All right. F and Rad shout outs this week to Maria and her son Teo. Thanks to Burton. Go check out the Burton One World movie. It's $10. It's streaming live wherever you get your videos, and it's totally worth it. It'll get you psyched for the season. If you're on a budget, check out Jess Kamira's Uninvited 2. She put it out for free this year, supporting a lot of the women snowboarders that are in that film, even though they had sponsors. Jess is a stand-up individual in the snowboard community, and she's probably the number one person who's done the most for women snowboarding. Thank you, Jess. Thank you to Nick from Salmon Arms for putting out Salmon Arms gloves and mitts. They're awesome. I always say gloves, but they're actually mitts. He might make a glove next year. I don't know. I might have seen a sneak peek of that. Nick's a fan of the show. I'm a fan of Nick's. Support Salmon Arms. Join the Salmon Army. And go get yourself some Intuition liners. They're great liners. If you've got boots that need new liners, then you need Intuition liners. Go to intuitionliners.com. They're not cheap, but they're totally worth it. Heat moldable liners that will up your game. Okay, that's it. Come back next week for another episode of the F and Rad Snowboard Podcast, presented by Vans and brought to you by SIA Productions.